Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 589. It's the 19th of September, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Colin Hutchinson, CEO of Ascent Resources, AST, talks about their interim results and gives three reasons why you should add them to your Vox Markets watchlist. Now, if you do hit follow on any company on the Vox Markets site or app, you will get RNSs delivered straight to the front screen of your smartphone as soon as they're released. On the podcast, I also have Doc talking about three companies that have momentum and sentiment behind them. So, Talao Energy, Sound Energy, and CloudTag. And also, CloudTag CEO is going to be on the podcast very soon. And the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. I'll reveal that. I had someone say on Twitter recently, why do you tweet these out? And I thought, are you nuts? You will hear in the podcast, Doc mentions that momentum and sentiment, 9/10 of the law on AIM, you know? And you can have companies whose fundamentals do not match their share price at all, completely being disassociated from this, disjointed from it. You can see a share price rise crazily, and you can do fundamental analysis until you're blue in the face and it will not connect, but it doesn't matter. That's what I mean about AIM. You know, companies are completely reliant on news, sentiment, and momentum, and if you got that, the share price will take off. That's why this list, top five most followed companies, is very important. It's what people are following. And you know, generally, in my experience personally, I generally don't follow companies that I don't, you know, make an investment case for. You know, if I follow a company, it's because I'm likely to make an investment. So it's almost a money flow. You know, this list is a list of money, you know, where the money's going. That's why it's important. If you haven't checked this list out, please check it out. I also have on the website here this week's most followed companies on the Vox Markets website. And you can see that at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. And also today, of course, today suggested one for your watch list. This has been suggested by Bear Bull. It's Zamano. I think Smudge Danka, well, I know he covered this on our previous podcast, and he quite likes the company. It's ZMNO ticker. And I'll give the reasons why Bear Bull likes this company in a few moments.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is CEO of Ascent Resources. It's Colin Hutchinson. Ascent, by the way, is AST ticker. Morning, Colin.
Good morning, Justin.
How are you?
I'm very good indeed. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, you know. And just looking at, you've got your interim results out. We'll go through that in a bit. But I like to say, Colin, you know, for new listeners or people who are not aware of the Ascent story, can you tell us what you're all about in about a minute, please?
Yeah, very quickly. I mean, Ascent Resources PLC, we're an independent and upstream oil and gas company based in London, listed in AIM since about 2004, I think. Our principal asset is a 75% stake in the Petisovci concession, which is in northeastern Slovenia on the border with Croatia and Hungary. And we've got independently estimated gas in place of about 456 BCF, that's the P50. The field in Slovenia, it's relatively close to infrastructure. The problem the company's faced for a long time is just the final piece in the jigsaw, just connecting the two. We've got two wells drilled which have gas in the ground, just connecting those to infrastructure and getting the gas to market. And beginning of August, we signed an agreement to sell the raw untreated gas at the border to ENA. So the company's currently embarked on a sort of capital program to recomplete the two wells, refurbish some of the infrastructure, and bring our gas to market in early 2017.
Okay, well, you've had your interims out for the 6 months ended the 30th of June. Take us through some highlights, please, Colin, from that.
Yeah, I mean, the interims, the first 6 months of 2016 have been fairly eventful for the company. We've had, I guess, the highlights, the main highlight was signing the gas sales agreement with ENA, because the company for a long time has struggled with getting its gas to market. We've got these two wells that were drilled back in 2011 and flowed at a commercial rate. We've got independently verified gas in the ground. So we've got the gas in the ground. We know we can get it out, but we just can't get it to market. So it's been immensely frustrating. We've been through a permitting process, a Slovenian permitting process, that has taken far longer than anyone thought it should, or it should reasonably given the size of what we're proposing. And we're still pushing through that permitting process. But what happened in August, which is the main highlight, is that we signed this gas sales agreement with ENA. So that means that independent of the permitting delays, we can get our gas to market, we can get the wells into production, and we can get some revenue generated from early 2017.
That's good news, yes. And as far as the permitting thing is going on, I mean, are you still dealing with that?
Yes, there's still dialogue going on between ourselves and the relevant bodies in Slovenia. So I'm hopeful that we can address whatever concerns are raised and we can move ahead with that, because I do really believe it's in the best interest, not only of Ascent and our partners in Slovenia, but really of the whole Slovenian economy. I mean, they're currently wholly dependent on imported gas, and this is a huge natural resource in their own country that they should be trying to exploit.
Yeah, exactly. It's odd. It's almost like shooting themselves in the foot here. I mean, they're not looking at the bigger picture, are they, really?
No,
it's almost like you're pen pushers, really jobs worth, you know, not really understanding how the economy works. And they do themselves a disservice. But that's in the background. Yeah. But like you said, you're reiterating here, first gas sales revenue expected by early 2017, which is good news, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic, and it's a game changer for the company. We struggled since 2013 to get our gas to market, so that this everyone's now focused on. There's a short capital program we need to carry out, and we've already begun that. The first thing we needed to do was check that the pipeline that runs from our field in Slovenia to the field in Croatia, where Eni are going to purchase the gas, was fit for purpose. And we've done the pressure test there. We did that fairly quickly after we acquired Trometa, which was a company that owned the land. That pipeline passed the pressure test with flying colours. So we've submitted all the paperwork on that to the ministry in Slovenia, and we're waiting on them to come back with the formal recertification. But it passed all the pressure tests with flying colours. Now that the pipeline's okay, we've started work on the. We need to recomplete the two wells, PG10 and PG11A. We need to refurbish. There's an existing, they call it a CPP, which is the Slovenian initials, but it's essentially a separation station. So it's taking the gas out of the ground, separating the water and condensate, and then we can put the big dry gas in the pipeline for export. That'll need a little bit of refurbishment, and there are also some flow lines to tie in the wells and to connect the pipeline that runs to Croatia with our pipeline that runs to the CPP. So we've got a capital program that we're currently in the middle of now, and hopefully that'll be completed early 2017.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the market looks like early doors here are appreciating the interims. You're up by 4.1% there, so it's a nice little rise. And you can see a little nice little support level there on the share price. It's almost like it doesn't. I've got a chart here, and I talk to chartists all the time. I'm a bit of a chart anorak. And I've got what's called a 125 moving average. And that seems to be underlying the share price here. It never likes to go below that at the moment. And since start of August, it's been bouncing off that. So it's quite nice. So hopefully we'll see it go up from here. All right, marvellous, Colin. Well, listen. If anyone needs any more convincing as to why they should put Ascent Resources on their Vox Markets watch list, can you give us three reasons, please?
Yes, sure, Justin. Three reasons. We're onshore European gas, so we're lower risk, we're lower cost. We're close to production. We've got a route to market, which is the thing that the company's really been lacking for the last 3 years or so. And the gas in the ground, we've got 456 BCF in the ground, which is significantly higher value than our current market cap.
Yeah, and you must think that it was a bit of a nightmare, that, you know, permitting situation there. But now you sort of got through that. And at the time, it's been a heck of a headache. But now it's almost, I wouldn't say irrelevant, but it's very much in the background, isn't it?
It's certainly, yeah, it's much less of an issue. It's still something I'd like to have, and something hopefully we will get, but it's much less important now, because even before we got the setback on the permit, the preferred route to market was to go to ENA, because it's just so much quicker and so much cheaper. So if we had got the permit maybe back in May, we would have had a bit of a dilemma as to which way to go. But maybe the setback in the permit was a blessing in disguise, because now we can push forward with the preferred route to Croatia and hopefully pick up the permit over the next few months.
Okay, and will that be the sort of the next bit of news, or what are you thinking the next bit of news will be out?
I think the next news we'll have is we'll try and keep shareholders updated as far as we're able to about the operational progress we're making, about getting pipelines recertified, about getting connections made, and about getting wells recompleted.
Marvellous. Colin, lovely to speak to you, and speak again soon, fella.
Thanks very much, Justin. Have a good day.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is small cap authority Doc Holliday. You're right, fella.
Very well, thank you. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm all right. Just looking at the markets here. It's a nice bounce for the FTSE, up 1.5%. I know stock mean you both hold, still powering on. Tellow Energy, the momentum. Once you get momentum behind a share, someone just on Twitter said, where's the target prices? I said, you can't say. When there's momentum behind a share like this, you can't really say, can you?
No, I think there's obviously there's a view now that's being held, and I covered Tellow on the weekend or weekly roundup, a blog on Vox Markets. It was one of few companies, Pantheon, Tellow, and Glanwick. It's really difficult to see where these things can go. Momentum is 8/10 of the law on AIM, and once you've got it on side, it's really tricky. And even when you start crunching numbers and you're looking at, you know, fundamental reasons, technical reasons, they often can still go above and beyond where people envisage. There was a lot of talk of 15p, 20p when this share was trading at 4 or 5p. Naturally, there'll have been some scepticism. That's now been extinguished by delivery and performance within the share price. And I think there's some anticipation now that there'll be some operational updates coming in from Botswana, which will start to fundamentally underpin the business. IKH Holdings have announced that they've come in on the last financing round, and inadvertently now your relationship with GE and IKH is being crystallised by their participation in Tellow. And I think when you look at that type of business, how established those companies are, both in Botswana and in various other geographic locations, to me, it's suggestive that they know that that this is in pretty decent fettle, and they want to take a position and get on board. And the share price has reacted kindly since.
Yeah, well, do you know what sticks in my mind is when I chatted to Tony Gilbin. He did say, you know, of his previous two enterprises he had with CBM there, and he had Arrow and Sunshine, and you know, both sold $1.2 billion, one for over $3 billion, and he said there's more potential here. So, and someone on Twitter said, I've missed this, you know, I can't get in. And I said, well, you know, if you look at what the guy's done, there's still potential, but I wouldn't, you know, as always, try and buy on a pullback, because you know, you can never can tell. I mean, short term, obviously, you'll see a pullback, but if he thinks that there's more potential here and everything goes to plan, then there's a long way to go, isn't there?
Yeah, well, look, it's always going to be sort of caveat emptor, but I think, you know, in this case, yes, there's more potential. It's realising that potential that's perhaps been difficult, or perhaps it's difficult in people's minds because it's Botswana and it's perhaps not your backyard in Australia or various other places. So I think there's always going to be concerns about operating in Africa with the bureaucracy, the corruption and various other things that we've seen happen over the years. And naturally, perhaps that's why there's been an element of sort of doubt, or a seed of doubt that's being planted here. But they're certainly coming through and out the other end. And naturally, the share price is reflective of that. And to be perfectly honest, I think once people start to believe that it can happen, that's when you start to see these things really gallop on. We saw it, you know, back with, I remember GKP, an oil company, back in the day, you know, people were sort of speculating, can this really happen? It's Iraq, you know, I think it was only about 5 years since, you know, the Western alliance had sort of invaded. So there was a lot of doubt, could it really happen? Can it happen? And it did. And naturally, it's gone the other way since. But over that period of time, from sort of the late noughties and into sort of 2011 and 12, when it went from 10p to 400p, that belief started to kick in, the momentum started to kick in, and the result was incredible. Botswana is a sophisticated country. I don't think people quite realise that. You know, I've obviously made some reference to, you know, African countries and corruption and bureaucracy, but it's not all like that. You know, Botswana's, politically quite sound, and there's a lot of sort of positive expectancy that you can take from it. But I'm just trying to give some perhaps insight as to where people may have been on the build up to this, because, you know, I've seen people make the same comments at 7, 8 and even 9p. Well, you know, I've missed the boat here. It's come up quite a bit from 4 and 5.
Yeah, what are the reasons?
If it goes to 50, then, you know, you definitely won't have missed it, you know. But it is definitely, you've got to caveat that now, because it's been such a decent move. But, you know, naturally, there's an element of risk to buyers. But I think the reward and the potential of the longer game, particularly if you look at the past records of Tony and the guys at Tulu, then, one could argue definitely that there's an investment case.
Yeah, well, one of the things he looked at when they were looking for coal-bed-beaten projects around the world was political stability, and that's why they sort of picked Botswana. But talking about momentum, I mean, this is no more clear evidence here that with the sound energy. That's unbelievable. I remember having the guys on the podcast, and they were like literally around 10 pence. And I liked the story, and I mentioned to Zach earlier on, actually, I was seconds away from hitting the buy button. I didn't bother buying, and now it's 95 pence. I think, wow, that's a good case of momentum, isn't it, you know?
Oh, it's been incredible. It's been an incredible move, and there was a labour of sort of love put in for James, for certain. You know, I think he's been a credit to the company, to investors, and to himself in many respects. You know, I think the hard yards were put in back in 2013, 2014. I met the executive management team in April, and then in September we had a bit of a meet and greet session down in the Jugged Hare, not too far from the location of the oil barrel conference that was on at that point in time. There's about 25 investors come along. Zach was there, funnily enough. I was there. And James came in with Luca Madeu, Leo Spitz, a couple of junior members of the management team, and himself. And I think he gave a great account of himself. I think he installed belief that he could achieve. And God, have they gone on and done that. Yeah. I would sort of suggest now that, you know, the share price has gone from, it was a £20 million market cap, to £500 million today. What happened in between? They got in some institutions, they brought in a wealthy, I think, Italian family, they brought in some Mediterranean money. They were funding this at sort of 15, 20, 30p. They had some options and warrants which were priced at 19p, 30p. So there's quite a lot of equity in this business at significantly lower points than today. Yes, there's always going to be these people out there that invest and they hold because they want to sort of break out of perhaps the shackles of day-to-day life and work, and they see that if this can get to a certain point, that's the key to unlock them and give them allow them into the free world as perhaps they see it. So they'll hold and hold and hold. When it comes to institutions, when it comes to really wealthy families, you know, unless they're completely convinced, they're going to start to try to shape their position so that they're not carrying the increased and inflated risk as these prices continue to rise. By that suggestion, I would anticipate that some of that money is going to look to de-risk. They're going to look to protect the investment. They've put in the hard yards. They've taken the risk by supporting the company in the very early days. I'd be surprised if they're not starting to take some of that out. The share price has performed incredibly well. The liquidity is incredibly good. The interest incredibly good. And James has given a good account of himself on recent interviews. Can it go on to £1 billion? I'm sure it can. But fundamentally, it needs to prove that. And, I've made this suggestion before that it does look like it's got a little bit ahead of itself. It's not to say that it can't go on and do extremely well, but I think from a risk perspective now, it's one of the riskiest things I've seen out there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it gets above that £1 level, because if it does, because it stalled there last time, If it does, you'd suggest to go further, but it'd be interesting to see.
I think what's interesting, Justin, is if they can actually deliver the gas and deliver on some of the expectation in the market, because, you know, that will be the catalyst to it going to £1.50, or it'll be the thing that takes it back to sort of 75p, 50p. I had a chat to James last week. He was extremely upbeat. Nothing's really changed when you talk to James of 2013 and 14 and you talk to him today. It's very much the same person. Very focused, and perhaps not too focused on what the price action's doing. I remember when the shares were trading at 10 and 12p, and James had sort of said, "Well, I'm not too worried about what's going on there. I'm worrying about the business." I made the same comments to him when I spoke to him last week, and the response was exactly the same. So, you know, there was a perfect opportunity for him to start, you know, fluffing his feathers up a little bit. Now the price is up dramatically. He chose not to. I think he took quite a measured look. But, you know, having said that, no matter how much you like the company, no matter how much you like James as a CEO, no matter how well they've done, I think you've got to try and take a measured view. And that is, if you believe in the company, you've got to let some of this run. If you really believe in it, you've got to let some of it run. But you've also got to be responsible with your portfolio.
Yeah, talking about believers, right? I've never seen... We're in the middle of a phenomenon here, I think, and this is with CloudTag. The interest on this stock is phenomenal. They're on the podcast this week. And literally, I will switch on, look at Twitter, and I'll have like 30 to 50 interactions. I haven't even sent a tweet out, and this is all from CloudTag holders. And I've never seen this kind of, you know, frenzied following of a stock for a while. I mean, at last seen, I suppose... 88 Energy was a bit like this as well. You know, we saw that happen there. Have you got any take on CloudTag, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I talked about CloudTag. It one of the company competition blog things that I do on Vox Markets, and I took a look at it, and you can sort of, you look at the people involved, the vice president of Chelsea Football Club or vice chairman of Chelsea Football Club is the chairman of the company. The CEO's... Ahmet Ben Hain, I think his name is. Yeah. He's obviously got an extremely competent sort of background and history behind him. They brought in, I think, a couple of presenter stroke celebrities from these weight loss programs, which have been televised to help sort of endorse the CloudTag product. I kind of look at these things, and I stated this in that blog, and you know, I can see why people are buying it, and I can see why there's all the excitement. And it's you know, there's a few companies like this at the minute. Should they be able to really sort of engage with the consumer, then these are those types of products that can go on and sort of lead the way and make extremely good gains. And naturally, we're seeing extremely good gains to date. The thing that is my only concern or critique, and to be honest, the majority of it is actually quite positive. So, you know, for anybody who's not read that sort of blog post, you can find it up on the Vox blog under my name, and you'll see that there's a fair bit there to it. My only sort of concerns are that this concept was put together perhaps when the science wasn't as efficient as it perhaps is today. And that, you know, there's loads and loads and loads of different people that are making apps now. And there's lots and lots of people that can make apps, you know, particularly cheaply. And I think once you get a market becomes saturated with a product, it makes it more difficult to sort of stand out. Naturally, if you do stand out, then you become the exception of the rule. And that's where there's a lot of money to be made. I also feel that window of opportunity is narrowing really quickly because there's so many people that are putting these types of things together, and then it does boil down to marketing. So you can have the best people, you can have the best idea, but if you don't market it right, it doesn't always catch on. And I just feel like we're in a very competitive environment today. So I'd say that's one of my concerns, that yes, it's all well and good if investors like the product. And yes, it's all well and good if you've got that initial marketing, but it's got to catch on. And until that happens, you know, you're not going to get airborne. This was a similar thing that I used to say about Audioboom back in sort of a year or 15 months ago when the shares were trading at 12 and 15, 16p, people were sort of saying, you need to get into this. You should be using it. You do the podcast. You're out there. And the thing I tried to sort of say then is, yes, it's okay that investors like it, but this is consumer driven. And if consumers don't like it, or they don't know about you, or perhaps the marketing's not gone particularly well, then ultimately you're not going to get the just rewards, perhaps. So I sort of see that CloudTag, to me, feels a little bit like that. If they get the marketing right, if the consumers really start to fall in love with it, then you're going to find a situation where this does get airborne, and 10 and 12p is going to be a distant memory.
If it
follows that of other companies in similar situations, then perhaps it'll take a breather and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it does come down to sales, doesn't it? You know, if they get selling, if they shift off the shelves there. I noticed in the last RNS, the company, I think, was trying to temper a bit of enthusiasm among shareholders here, because they said, as previously announced, directors have noticed there have been a significant volumes of trading. As indicated in this update, good progress is being made on all fronts, but should be noted that CloudTag is entering a highly competitive market and faces many challenges commonly associated with a such entry. So saying plans are put in place to deal with these. But they are trying, I think, almost dampen down enthusiasm, you know, because it is, like I said, I've not seen it for a while, since Edit Energy was the last one, had this kind of, frenzied sort of interest in. But, you know, like I said, it's almost, part of me thinks these days, I've gone backwards on it. No, I'm backwards. I've changed my investment policy. When it comes to smaller caps, I'm thinking the real risk comes in when then you have to prove revenue, you know? If you get in at the right level before any revenue's involved, when there's basically hopes and plans in place, you can see some amazing rises, you know? But when the revenue comes in, that's when reality kicks in, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, absolutely. I mean, look, you're spot on, and I think, you know, the one thing you can take from the comments from the company, actually, that are quite positive, is if they are trying to be responsible, they're trying to temper down some of the excitement. I think that's a reflection of a good board, yeah. And I think that's a great way to deal with it, you know. So there are pros and cons to everything, and, you know, you could argue that people are only seeing what they want to see at the minute. But having said that, I think much of what I've looked at seems to be quite positive. Naturally, it's come up quite significantly. But like all these companies, you know, we've talked about Talal, we've talked about Sound, we've talked about CloudTag now, and they've all got the same theme. They've all had a variety of positive moves in the market. And much of which needs to be demonstrated and proven. And again, not to try and steer back to Talal, because we've spoke about it enough recently. You know, they've drilled their wells. They've got one into production, the flaring gas. They've got another two that they're doing some work on. They've got some testing on the well that's already being drilled and flaring, which is going through an extensive testing process. So, you know, the fact that they're able to flare the gas and they're testing it, and they've drilled another two holes, and they've got to me, that's had the least bigger rise, yet seems to have more fundamental reason to perhaps be reacting. But again, you know, logic sometimes falls on its face when it comes to Wayne.
Yeah. Well, I know one thing. The podcast this week with Amit will be very popular. All right, Doc, thanks very much. Speak soon, fella.
All right, mate. Take care. Thanks, Joe.
Okay, here's that list, a very important list as far as momentum and sentiment is concerned. It is the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. At five, Management Resources, Mrs. is the ticker. At four, 88 Energy. At three, Bagir Group, BAGR. At two, EVRH Holdings. Now, this company, you know, all I can say is do some research. It's virtual reality, and it's one of the only companies with content, you know, that's listed at this level, you know, in the world. It's a very interesting play, so look into it, do your own research, and hopefully I'm going to get the CEO on the podcast again soon, but they've all released an exciting bit of news, a hookup with Telefonica in Germany, and I just think this is an area very super hot, you know, in the commodities play at the moment. It's lithium, as everyone's talking about, but, you know, and it's sort of related, but, you know, in software and tech, It's virtual reality and augmented reality, as we know from Pokemon. You know, it's massive. It's going to be massive. So you've got to say this company is worth looking at. At number one, it's Sepura, S-E-P-U, the most followed company on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. If you want to see what the most followed companies is this week, is last 7 days, then go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. All right, today's suggested one for your watch list is Zamano, ticker ZMNO. Suggested by Bear Bull. What does the company do? Zamano is a leading European provider of interactive applications and services to mobile devices. How many shares does the company have an issue? 99 million. Current price market cap, it's 10.5 pence. Market cap, 10.5 million. Makes sense if you turn the shares by the price there. What's the revenue and profit and loss does the company generate? Full year revenue in euros, 24.3 million. Pre-tax profit of 2.4. And the interim results for 6 months period, 30th of June 2016, sales increased by 80.2% to 18.74 million euros compared with 10.4 million euros in half one 2015. Gross profit decreased 9.7% to 2.33 million compared with 2.58 in the half one 2015 due to increased investment in advertising, changing sales mix in the UK and some foreign currency headwinds. How much debt does the company have? No debt. Interim for 6 months, period show 5th of June, cash 7.4 and represent an increase in cash, by the way, of 36.7% on the previous half-year figure. So three reasons why this company should be put on your watch list, according to Bear Bull. Number one, takeover candidate. This company has received an approach of 17 pence a share in Q4 2015. The company is in a sexy sector. Yeah, I'm in a sexy sector. Okay, and is clearly vulnerable based on a very low market valuation. At two, current cash is around about 7 million, it's close to 10 million market cap. Cash growth was 20% year on year. It is likely to, the company will either distribute cash via future dividends or a one-off payment. This would re-rate the shares. And at three, the company is profitable and is forecasting improving performance in H2 2016. They're also talking about making earnings-enhancing acquisitions. So that is an interesting play. And like I said, you know, Smudge Dan. I did actually a screener recently, looking for small cap with lots of cash. And Zamano came up and added them to my watch list. And then Dan came on and talked about them. I thought, yeah. So, you know, I probably didn't do anything with them, but Dan really did some good research there. So that's Zamano, ZMNO, worth looking at, worth putting on your watch list, according to Babel. Thank you very much for submitting that. Much was appreciated. And listen, if you know of a stock that should be on people's watch list and you can do a bit of research like that, certainly there's a form you need to fill in. It takes about 5 minutes. All right. Then please do go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. Click the link there, fill in the form, and I could be featuring it on a future podcast. Thank you very much. Muchos apreciado.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.